Hi, I'm Dr. Avanti Kumar Singh. In over 20 years of practicing both Western medicine and Eastern healing traditions, the most important thing that I've learned is that healing is a journey we take together. So on this podcast, I'll be demystifying Ayurveda and other integrated medicine, showing how these simple ancient practices are the keys to unlocking a healthy modern life. We are all healing catalysts because healing starts within. It starts with you, and it starts right now. This is a Soulfire production. Episode number 124. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the Healing Catalyst podcast. I am so glad to be here with you. And today, we're going to shake things up a bit because we're going to flip the script on something that you thought you knew, that you knew the definition of, which is softness. Okay, I know that you're thinking, you're going to do a whole episode on softness? What? Yes, stay with me here. Because think about it. We're told to push hard, 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 show no weakness, and always be on our game. But what if I told you that there's a secret weapon that has been overlooked, which is softness? And this is where we're going to flip the script. Softness is not about being weak or passive. Instead, softness is about power and grace and strength. And believe it or not, it's how we can avoid the burnout that so many of us experience in our day-to-day lives. And if you're not convinced, I promise that you will be by the end of this episode, because today I'm joined by my friend Tara Stiles, who's going to show us how softness isn't just something we can apply to yoga, but that it's a game changer for all of life. From gliding through work meetings with less tension to mastering daily tasks with a sense of calm, we're going to explore how softness can seriously up our game, not just on the mat, but in all of life. For those of you who don't know Tara Stiles, in addition to being one of my favorite people and a good friend of mine, Tara is the co-founder of Strala Yoga, a best-selling author and well-being expert who has revolutionized yoga for millions of people, transforming a practice that is often seen as dogmatic and guru-based into an everyday movement that supports ease and well-being and connection with the self. She is a sought-after speaker on topics of entrepreneurship, health, and well-being, and has authored several best-selling books, including her most recent book, Clean Mind, Clean Body. In our conversation, we discuss and challenge the societal norms that glorify strength and rigidity, highlighting how softness fosters deeper connections with the self and with others, and how it enhances resilience and well-being. We also dive into the role of softness in Eastern wisdom traditions, martial arts, and for mental and emotional health. Tara also shares her own personal experiences and her insights from working with thousands of students on integrating softness into practice, both on and off the mat, revealing its potential to empower and bring ease amidst all of life's challenges. So, if you're ready to discover how embracing softness can transform how you respond to challenges, how it can enhance your mental and emotional health, and how it can boost your physical well-being, you're in the right place. I am so, so incredibly excited to bring you my beautiful conversation with my beautiful friend, Tara Stiles, about living a more empowered and balanced life as we explore the true power of softness. Hi, Tara. I'm so happy to see you.
Oh, you're the best. My goodness. Any chance to hang out with you is always making my day.
Oh, same for me. I'm so excited. We just actually did another recording right before this. So we like are spending all day together today. So
I love it.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being here. You know, I'm so excited to do this episode with you and have this conversation. It's actually comes out of, you know, a talk that we had during a walk and talk when I was talking on the phone with you, you know, talking about just stuff in life. And we started talking about this idea of softness and how to embrace softness in a world that is really hard, but also about empowerment and all these different things. And so I thought, let's do this on the podcast. So
thank you for offering to do it on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, you're the best. And it really gives me so much practice to talk about it because it's such a challenging concept for everybody that I talk to about it. Not you, because you're like, yes, softness.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
softness is a challenge. And it's been a good challenge for me to work with. So thank you for the
chance.
Yeah,
no, I'm super excited about it. But I want to start before we go into softness, because I think this idea of softness comes from sort of a phrase that you're really well known for, and because you talk about it a lot, which is ease. You know, you really emphasize the idea of ease in movement over getting into specific forms or poses, or, you know, being all strict about the traditional yoga poses and the alignment and this and that. And it's about ease. So how do you think ease empowers people in their practice of yoga or in their daily lives, you know, taking yoga off the mat? How do you think that idea of ease sort of helps people?
Yeah, I think it always, well, I don't know about always, but when I first started learning about yoga, I had a really great sort of non-famous yoga teacher, kind of looked like Jack Tripper from Three's Company. And he was sitting at the front of the room, sort of happy for no reason and full of ease. And I thought, okay, why didn't anybody tell me this?
Right.
I mean, that was my first like, no.
Yeah.
And it really was this radiating of ease. And I knew about that from dance. I knew, because that was my whole life up until that moment, was movement and dance. And a lot of people now that know that I have a dance background would say, oh, yoga is so opposite of dance and yoga is so rigid and dance is so not rigid. I was like, well, we're people and we're all kind of rigid.
Yeah.
You know? So,
tell me about it.
But with dance, you know, obviously it's a very challenging art form, but you can't be rigid. It doesn't work if you're rigid, just like everything else. So you have to learn something through practice for a very long time and every day doing it, but you're doing it with ease. Otherwise, you can't do it. You will break. You will break, you know, your hips, your ankles, everything breaks. It won't also look beautiful. And that's, you know, the thing of the dance. You want it to look graceful, but you have to be graceful to look graceful. There's no one or the other. So that always sort of made sense to me. Although it's hard, it needs to be with ease. So I thought that first yoga class, yes, this is a practice that's just all about ease.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started taking every yoga that I could find and just learned, oh, people are neurotic. It's not that this, I had a great yoga teacher who was not as neurotic. So I learned that maybe this is the reason why my friends and family aren't practicing yoga now. So I wanted to really emulate that first teacher and bring ease into, not just into yoga, but into people's lives through this experience of this practice that I was falling in love with so much. So ease has become my main excitement through yoga. You know, even now I'll meet people that know a little bit about me and they say, oh, you're that yoga chick or whatever. Oh, it must be so exhausting to lead so many yoga classes all the time, to travel, do this. I said, well, I can't do it with rigidity and stress. Otherwise, I can't do it. I physically wouldn't be able to do it, especially as you get older. You know, it has to be even with more ease. So ease is completely necessary to make anything happen. And we can kind of get away with it without the ease for a little bit of time. We can cheat ourselves. We can kind of do things with more tension or more force. But eventually, that's why burnout happens. Eventually, that's why breakdown and little injuries happen because of a huge lack of ease. So I'm all for, you know, being the ambassador for ease any day.
Yeah. You know, I what I'm hearing or what's coming up for me as you're saying that is that it's not only ease in the movements, but it's also ease in your mind. It's like how you're thinking about it also, right? How you're approaching things. That's what I'm sort of getting from what you're saying, that it's also a mindset, right?
Yeah. You know, I learned this sort of physically. And then now that these things get more and more popular and science loves to explain them, which is amazing, it has to be a mindset first. And then your body kind of follows. Maybe it can go the other way around, but
right.
That's always been the most interesting to me. It's sort of like, why aren't we moving with ease? We're doing it because there's something going on here. We're not at ease in our mind. And how do we get there? It's not just like, okay, be at ease. It's sort of, do you feel safe? What's going on? Can you focus something on how you're moving really well through whatever you're doing? And all of a sudden that feels nice and good and full of ease. And maybe that makes you a little bit more safe to trust it the next time it comes up in a yoga movement or class or in a meeting or another situation in life. It's sort of retraining your reaction to yourself sort of all the time, right?
Yeah, I think it's also connected to being aware. Because, you know, you start to notice that, right? Because you'll notice the rigidity versus the ease. Like, how are you moving? How are you looking at things if you are aware? Otherwise, you can just go through life being rigid and hurting yourself in all kinds of ways, right? Physically, metaphorically, you know, emotionally, spiritually, the whole thing. But for me, what I think connects so much to me is that, you know, in Ayurveda, it's about, or the way that I look at it and teach it and come at it, is that Ayurveda is about living consciously with awareness, right? In why am I doing the things I'm doing? Why am I not doing the things I'm not doing, right? Why am I making the choices I'm making? How does it make me feel? And so what you're kind of saying also kind of aligns with that for me, which is probably why I love what you do and I connect with your work and with you so much, is that this idea of ease is only going to happen if you're aware of, are you at ease, feeling ease, or are you feeling rigidity, in rigidity, in hardness? You know, like, you have to be aware to even make a change or to adjust.
Yeah, something I always loved about really giving myself the freedom just to lead yoga in the way that made sense to me was saying things like, well, notice how you feel. And then my friends who had never done yoga before, they were like, oh, okay. Oh, I feel, that feels good, or that feels not good, or I can go further or not.
Yeah.
And then my friends that did yoga would be like, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm just going to stay here and wait for, you know, the five breaths to go by. And I thought, oh my gosh, we've been sort of doing these practices as the destination instead of using these practices to notice what's going on with us. And I think that's just a human problem. There's nothing really wrong with practices. We've just said, okay, this is great. Yoga's amazing. I'm just going to make sure I do it perfectly and then I'll get the results. And I think, you know, I saw the problems with that, but I think a lot of people see the problems with that. I think that's why so many people felt unincluded from yoga, because they thought, well, that doesn't make sense, or I don't understand why that doesn't make sense. And so many people now just are changing the way that they teach as well to sort of include more what's actually going on with you. Because once you notice in your yoga practice or whatever your practice is, you notice how you're feeling in that. And I know it sounds kind of corny, you know, like, what's going on? How do you feel? But when you notice how you feel, all of a sudden you're aware of how you feel and it's humongous. You know, you're not just a person doing the yoga. I mean, I even taught a kids yoga yesterday at Daisy's school. And I had them draw a little picture. It was a total risk. I'm like, this could go completely wrong. But I had them draw a little picture at the beginning of yoga. How do you feel right now? And then at the end of the yoga, how do you feel right now? They were excited in the beginning. At the end, they felt kind of, you know, there was more space-like things and more intuition, and they wanted to kind of stay forever. They weren't nervous anymore about what's this yoga class going to be that my parents signed me up for.
That's so cool.
And it was really cool to see, just in drawing, how do you feel? Because this is about you. It's not about me teaching you these things to do. Yeah, we're going to be doing some things and learning how to move your body and your breath-body connection. But all of those things, all of those techniques are tools for you to notice what's going on with you. And that's the most important, because you matter. And I think that's what really scares people. Like, I matter. I feel is whatever's going on is important. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you should save those pictures, by the way. That's so cool.
I let them take them home. Maybe I should take pictures of them before they take them home.
Yeah, because you know what? That's such a testament to the before and after of doing a practice, right? Like,
yeah.
I think all of us, even as adults, could probably, you know, connect those pictures if we looked at them side by side and saw the one that was, you know, a little more excitement and energy or anxiety in the first one, and then that calmness in the second that you're describing. Like, that really is like such a representation of what can happen in yoga if you can do it with ease, right? So
that's,
I love that.
Pretty neat.
Super cool.
One of the little kids, the first one was kind of just shapes that he draws all the time, like little animals and stuff. And then the last one on the back was like purple and green, like swirls and circles. And like, ooh,
Yeah.
There's the inner space right. and all of these things. And then a lot of them kind of drew more abstract things. And they're little kids, pre-K, kindergarten, first grade. But, you know, we all, what I love about you is you always, you teach so many things, but then you keep saying, well, take all this stuff, but bring it into you. And you're the wise one inside. So it's cool to see a little wise ones.
I don't know about that, but
you do.
Okay, so we've talked about ease. So now I want to talk about this concept of softness, because you brought this up in our conversation on our walk and talk. And I was so intrigued by like what you were talking about with softness. So first, let's start with, you know, what do you mean by softness? And then maybe you could talk about how is that related to ease, or like, how did you get to softness from ease? How do those kind of go together? So what is softness first?
Yeah, so softness is that readiness, that practice that kind of becomes your whole lifestyle, that makes you connected to your whole self. And I think that kind of, for me, it was definitely like the next step of ease. Ease was like my gateway sort of into understanding, well, we can do things with ease, but softness is the thing that we're doing, whether it's on accident or on purpose, when the thing that we're doing to make us feel at ease. And softness is that being ready, that being movable without necessarily moving. It's the state of the trees before the breeze comes. It's the everything that makes everything possible. And it got me so excited when I first started learning about the concept of softness, because I'm like, that's it. That's the thing that I've been trying to do or doing or leading for all this time, but I haven't sort of discovered it yet. And once I sort of like going in the woods and you find like the one beautiful plant that you're like, this is the plant.
Yeah.
And for me, that's softness, because it's without softness, nothing is possible. You need to be movable in order to be moved emotionally, by your breath, by yourself, to be moved by another person, to move your body, to move your whole self as one, to allow your breath to move you. You need that softness. And what I love about softness is it's also an action, like a verb. It's like soften.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we can all do that too. It doesn't need to be, obviously you can do it in yoga, and that's the thing that I do and teach and share, but you can do that all the time. And that's really exciting to me.
Wow. So your description of the tree before the wind comes, that is like so beautiful. I totally, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, I get what she's saying. So because the tree can be moved, like it has that quality of softness. And so then when the breeze comes, it can move. And that's what you're saying, is that if you can be in that state, in that quality of softness, you can be moved just easily, with ease.
Easily, yeah.
Right?
And that's what happens to all of us when we feel calm and relaxed, when you're with a good friend. When I'm with you right now, it's easy for me to be moved by you and what you say, and I feel more connected. You know, we all have these experiences with family, if we, you know, are in a good situation, or, you know, some people say when they're watching a great movie that, you know, gives them that feeling. We all relate to this, but what's so exciting to me about softness is it's something that you can literally do all the time by bending yourself a little bit, giving yourself that moment of checking in. Am I swayable right now, or am I holding extra tension? Am I in a comfortable body position that's going to allow everything to work, or am I kind of, you know, tweaked up a little bit? Am I going into a habit of sitting in a way, or is my pinky holding extra tension? Where is it? It's sort of getting curious about where you're off and not judging it, but saying, oh, of course, I can always get in a better body position. I can always get more comfortable. And then it's like, okay, now the work is to find that perfect body position for right now and say, okay, this is good. Now I can soften myself and watch the breeze come, watch my breath move me. And so much more becomes possible once you get into that state. And if you get out of it, you can get right back in the next time you are aware, which is, you know, what you so much of that, just general awareness of it's not happening right now. Oh, I can actually do something about that right now.
Right. It's beautiful. And I understand it. And here's where I'm going to challenge you, right? Because there are so many societal norms, especially in Western society, around strength and power and, you know, these words, heart, like, you know, there's all these words we use that are associated with being successful, productive, you know, all of those things that feel so at odds and actually opposite to softness. And so how do we navigate that, especially as women, right? As those of us who, you know, identify as women, how do we even do that? And actually, probably even for men who want to have both, you know, that softness in the world, it's actually in some ways probably even more challenging. But how do we even do that? Because we're in a society that glorifies hardness and strength and power, the exact opposite to what you're talking about.
Yeah, no pain, no gain is the A plot, right?
Right.
And stress is the sign of success.
Yeah.
And softness is for Sundays.
Yeah,
for sure. And I look at that and it's really exciting to me again, because I know that it's true. Without softness, you can't have strength. You can have a show of strength, but you can't be truly powerful. If you are powerful without softness, you're going to break and you're going to burn out. And I think the one thing that, you know, gets people more excited than, oh, I burn out, break, okay, fine, but I still want this. It's like, no, you're not even reaching anywhere near your potential if you're going in that direction of, I'm strong, I'm going to push through this. I am, you know, man or woman or whoever, just going. You got nothing on yourself. But if you allow yourself to soften, move around a little bit, be moved by your breath, then yeah, you feel better. But people don't really, really want to feel better. They want to get more. And this is the way, so American. I was teaching this in Germany once, and I'm like, I can make the American jokes. I'm like, this is how you get more. Uh-huh. It's softness, people. And I really am excited about it, because I just feel like it is the next, it's not going to be a trend, because softness is, it's just the missing link between all this information we have with wellness and the things. And Ayurveda has it, and we're talking about it, and it's just going to get more and more and more practice. And once we practice it, we can stop talking about it so much and just do it more, and then see the benefits from this practice of softness. Because, you know, every time I start talking more about it, sharing more about it, and the yoga about it, and it's, we've been doing this in yoga for a while, but
right,
it's all these magic, oh, my life is good now, this is happening. And you can't say it's because of this or this, but softness is the common denominator in a lot of this. And I'm just excited for more and more people to get into it.
Yeah. So I want to tap into something you said, which I think is so key, which is you said that the secret is softness, and that actually, if you want to get ahead, if you want to do more, be more, softness is like the magic. That's the key. And what I was thinking about is your image of the tree, right? Because if you have a tree that can't move, that's like petrified in a way, like just like standing there, you know, stiff, and the wind comes, it's going to knock it down. Like a high enough wind will come and knock it down, because it's not like malleable. It can't move, right? That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah. Rigid will always be the first to break.
Yeah.
And if you have this for too long, and I know it's a self-protective thing, and I know we've been all trained this, but if you have this for too long, you will break, and you will be the first to break, and you will never know what you're getting more is, because you're getting more is missing, because you're holding yourself back with this idea that you need to be rigid in order to get more. If you soften your body and your whole self, it's not about losing muscle tone or becoming weak. It's about being more capable of all of the things that you're already doing. So it works in your weightlifting if you're a weightlifter. If you use softness, it's going to work out better for you. It works in your yoga, it works in your business. And it's so fun to teach it to people that do completely different things than I do. And then they go back and they're like, my meetings are going better.
Yeah.
All these things happen.
Right.
And it's not a biohack. It's not a gimmick. It's something you can literally do in every moment to connect better with yourself and to connect better with what's happening around you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the trees, they've been trying to teach us this for a while.
We need to look to nature, which is Ayurveda, right? Right there.
Yeah.
We're both talking about traditions that are sister sciences, you know? So I also want to ask you a question before we move on to, you know, softness in a yoga practice, like specifically. But I want to go back to what you said that, like, you know, when you teach this to people who are doing other things and there's like, my, you know, it's my meetings are going better, my life is going better. Like, how are they applying softness to their lives? You know, let's get away from like maybe even how you're moving, but how are they applying it to other things that they're doing? I'm really curious. Like, what have you heard from people?
Yeah. So, you know, so many people listening probably have a job or on Zooms, things like that, or just in a group meeting. And we've all had experience with those group meetings going well for us and not going well. And applying softness in that setting can be something that the group doesn't know about, that you're just doing yourself. You're finding a comfortable body position, swaying a little bit, connecting with yourself. And it opens you up to being able to listen better. And we can all improve in listening better. It's sort of, there's no end point. Like, I'm already a good listener. No, you're, we're not, none of us are.
Right.
So we listen better.
Yeah.
And we're able to communicate our thoughts better. People are more open to us because we're more connected to ourselves. We feel better to be around. And it just really works in that situation. And, you know, I have this experience all the time making dinner. There's only so much time. There's activities going on. If I'm sitting there chopping the vegetables, rushed and hurried, I'm much more likely to cut myself or burn myself in the oven. We've all had those experiences. But when I apply softness, I'm going to get in a better body position. I have the same amount of time to do the thing.
Yeah.
It's not about taking time out to do your self-care, which is fine if you can.
Yeah.
But right in the moment with the vegetable.
Right.
You know, doing the thing, seeing if I'm swayable and still doing the thing. Myself and everybody I talk to, you get more done with less time. You become more efficient, more connected, more capable, and more happens. And you also have your ability to think clearly. You know, we all relate to this frazzled mindset because it's so easy to do. And then, yeah, of course, you cut your finger, you burn yourself and your stress, and the kids are screaming and the partner's screaming and the TV's on and the social media's there. But we can change all of that by moving ourselves a little bit better in the kitchen, in the meeting, in the anything, and just to see what happens. People will literally come up to you and say, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, what's your skincare routine?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah. You know, what's coming up for me also as you're saying that is because you keep saying connection with softness, that it allows you to connect with yourself. It allows you to connect with others. And it's so interesting because I actually was just doing my line edits for my book that's coming out at the end of the year. I was doing this last night. I was reading the last chapter, and it's actually, I've written about connection. And it's specifically about connection to others, connection to the world around you, connection to self, connection to the divine. And what you're saying is so in line with what I was saying there, is that when you, at least what I'm hearing from you, is that this softness, this mindset, this approach to life of being in softness allows you to connect in a different way with yourself, with others, with the world, with the divine, whatever you want to call it. And everything just kind of goes better.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's an easy example for my life right now is, on Fridays at Daisy's school, they invite the parents. They have this morning meeting thing. And the first few months of going into that, I was really having to work hard on my softness practice. So I felt comfortable. I was really nervous. New schools, Daisy's going to be happy, new parents, whatever. And I really focused on it every meeting. And I did make a new friend or I met a new parent, but I knew it was because I was doing the softness thing, because a lot of parents don't want to make friends. Maybe they do, but they're, you know, I'm busy, busy, busy. I'm going to be over here. But I've connected with those parents too, and they're wonderful people. Fast forward to, you know, almost the end of the school year. Now I go into those morning meetings and I, you know, I feel like I almost work at the school. You know, I'm happy to be there. I mean, that's my personality too, but it's because I'm doing the softness thing. And today they did this thing in a circle, this hand squeeze, you know, activity. And a couple of the boys in Daisy's class were being really rowdy together. And the teacher kind of looked at me and she's like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, is it okay if I join the circle? So I joined the circle between them two and like got down on my knees and like held the hands. And I'm like, is it okay if I'm here? You know, asking them. And they thought it was really cool and weird that, you know, Daisy's mom joined the circle. But it was better for me too, because I didn't have to feel nervous that they were acting, you know, inappropriately. And, you know, the teacher was upset. But I just said, I can do something about this and it'll make me feel better. And it'll make, maybe it'll make them feel better.
Yeah.
And we ended up having a great time. And it's just a little moment. It's not like anybody looked at that moment and said, oh, Tara's doing this big thing. But for me, it was nice to know that my softness was affecting
other people,
my experience and my experience with the other people in that room. You know, whether, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, a big deal, but all of those little moments in our lives feel something for us. You know, we have those moments where we feel good at the grocery store because somebody opened the door for us. And we can really create those literally all of the time. And life starts to feel really miraculous
and beautiful and joyful. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing when you think about it that way. I'm having so many ahas that I didn't have on our walk a few days ago when we started talking about this. So thank you for that. Yeah, this idea of softness as the way that you can connect with everything. It's like you're inviting a space for that to happen by becoming soft, by having softness. And I guess, you know, that's the other thing is like, how do you say the word without like all the negative connotations that are, you know, with softness? Like you said, you know, Sundays are for softness or, you know, stop being so soft or whatever. And it's always like looked at as this negative, weak sort of thing. And you're actually helping me see that it is exactly the opposite. It's actually very powerful.
It's very powerful. I think it's worth sticking to the word that it is and not trying to change it. I remember when I first started talking about softness years ago, and again, it was funny because we're in Europe a lot, and it was in Germany, and there was a woman, people were coming back from a training, and they were kind of reporting about how it was going. And this one woman said to me, do you have a different word for softness? Because in German, it means something very bad. And I said, well, in English, it also means something very bad. Not like a foul word or something, but just it means, the woman said, it means to melt like butter. And I said, well, you know, you don't need to tell people to soften. It's a verb, but you can, you know, bend and move. And there's so many ways to go about it. But it's sort of reframing our minds about this thing that's amazing. It's sort of like maybe 15 years ago, the word wellness really didn't exist. And people might have thought that was, you know, woo-woo or strange or something back then. But I really do think the feeling about the word will change because it's just what it is. I mean, it's sort of, it says this in Ayurveda and Tai Chi and Shiatsu and right, not so much the yoga that I've read and learned, but I think it's in there too somewhere with softness. Softness is necessary for anything to happen. And it's just the right word. I wouldn't want to kind of, you know, try to change it to, it feels like it would make it less powerful.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that I think it's redefining, you know, how we look at that word and seeing that it is so incredibly powerful. It's quite the opposite of what many of us have been sort of told or sold about the word or about what that means, you know. And to your point, I think this idea of softness, you know, has been in so many of the Eastern healing traditions, Eastern wisdom traditions, like even in Ayurveda, right, we have the 20 qualities. There's 10 pairs of opposites. And soft is one of them, soft in heart. And again, you know, if you remember in Ayurveda, nothing is good or bad. It's not like one's better than the other. They're just opposites. And you use them to balance yourself. Sometimes you need to add more soft. Sometimes you need to add more hard, depending on what's going on with you, what time of the year it is, what time of life it is, right? And so soft in Ayurveda or in India and South Asia doesn't have a negative or a weak connotation to it, which I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm going to ask you, is that true of like in Tai Chi and Qigong and, you know, sort of the traditions that I know a lot of Strala of your yoga sort of style and practice and teaching has a huge emphasis and like incorporates those wisdom traditions. So is soft something that you kind of learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something I've been, you know, chasing or searching for so long. But it was really Mike telling me, yeah, this is Tai Chi, Tara. I'm like, well, I gotta learn Tai Chi then. And then Sam, our Shiatsu teacher, would always say everything that you're sort of trying to do and, you know, doing pretty well, he would say, oh, you're doing a good job on that. that's shiatsu, that's softness. And I would say, okay, let me go dive into this more. And, you know, specifically with Tai Chi and the connection, it doesn't work. And this is what's so, you know, it can be funny in so many ways, because if you just kind of push buttons in the meridians, it doesn't work. It's like the meridian is the spot, but you can't just mechanically push it with a robot and have something to happen.
Right.
You have to make a connection with yourself, be at ease, be soft, and then make that connection either with your own, you know, point or your own meridian or with another person. It literally doesn't work. So you can't sort of perform softness. And then with Tai Chi too, I mean, I think Mike always yells at me. He's like, stop overusing the word ninja. But I'm like, but people like me relate to that. Like, yeah. You see a ninja and you're like, oh yeah, the ninja's cool. Like Kung Fu Panda. Yeah.
Right.
So Kung Fu Panda and the ninjas, all the people, you know, doing all of these really intense martial arts, they're not overworking at all. And I think that's so much of softness. They're doing these, what looks like, you know, unattainable things, but they're not using one bit of extra effort. They're doing them with softness. And we, you know, as outsiders, look at something like that and say, oh, that looks so tough. That looks so strong. But the experience of the ninja doing it, or the person, I shouldn't say that, like, it's full of softness and ease. So it's just a perception issue, I think, is kind of interesting.
Yeah. And it's very much a Western perception, because I don't think that the Eastern perception is that it's hard and, you know, like what we think of a ninja. It's actually, they know the power is coming from the softness, from the ease, from the sort of ability to be moved, right, by the energy and move with it. And yeah, there's just a different understanding, which I think is so, so key. And is just so, you know, it's a bigger sort of a part of a bigger discussion about, you know, the difference between West, East, when it comes to health, medicine, wellness, right? The perspectives that we have, and why I love sort of how the work that I'm trying to do, which is to bring it together, because there's a balance between both of them. You know, they can both help us a lot. But I'm really intrigued by this idea of softness. I'm going to have to think about it a lot more. But let me ask you this, you know, how do you see, when you're teaching this, you know, how do you see softness as a benefit for not necessarily the physical, because I think you've talked about that, but really mental and emotional health? What have you seen, you know, happen with students or even with yourself?
Yeah, that's the main thing for me. I sort of see, you know, the movements that you do and all of that. It's wonderful. It's great. It's going to even out your body, do for it what you need to do it, but you're in your body, you know? So I feel like that's really the main thing. And hopefully I'm getting better at teaching it in a way where I don't feel like I have to, I say the word soften sometimes, but it's more of an action, like, you know, soften your elbows, whatever. It doesn't come across like, and now we're going to soften. Like, I don't want to scare people with it.
Yeah, so right.
It's just another word for bend, really, in the movements. But if I'm able to do it from the moment I walk into the yoga studio or turn on the online class to the end and hopefully keep doing it in my life, then I'm able to share it in that way. So it's really this way of relating to yourself. It's really a lifestyle of how you connect with yourself first. And I've seen a huge shift in myself, even in the last 5 years, when real, almost life stressful things happen, less freakouts have happened for me. And it's not that the hard things don't happen. And, you know, that podcast that Glennon Doyle has, that we can do hard things, I want to call her up and be like, with softness. So we can do hard things. We don't have to hurt ourselves in the process and feel like garbage. You know, we all are doing such hard things, but we can do them with softness and feel good in the process. And I feel like we're all kind of in this tipping point of, we need it, otherwise we can't do hard things anymore. We're going to collectively, you know, burn out again. And I've really seen a shift in my life just looking at circumstances or things in my family and things that have happened and saying, well, maybe when I first got into yoga and these things happened, I don't think I would have been as prepared as now. And it's not just, oh, I've been doing yoga more. It's, I've been doing yoga with softness for a longer period of time. So it's sort of protected me from these hard things. And I haven't had, you know, I've been able to be in them and be like, oh, that's interesting that just happened. Or, you know, with my dad in the hospital, I can now sit with him and arrange myself and connect with him to maybe help him feel better with his tremors and make good relationships with the nurses and doctors coming and ask them how they're doing, what's going on. And I'm thinking, and I got so much feedback just from the medical professionals saying, what are you doing? You know, most people would be freaking out right now. And yeah, these are, everybody's going to go through, haven't been through like family members in the hospital and illnesses and death and dying and all this stuff. But it really, you can do it with a panic or you can do it with softness. And I just feel so grateful that I had softness a little bit before life started to get really hard. And now I'm like, I can do it. I can do these hard things with ease. And even, it sounds kind of strange, but with joy and make connections. And I had a lot of nurses email me after my dad passed and say, it was just really neat to see you kind of walk around and take care of your mom and take care of your dad and even ask us how we were doing and all of those things. And I didn't think, oh, I'm doing these things to make the nurses happy. I'm doing them, first of all, for myself, sure, so I don't panic, but then also, you know, for the people, for my dad and for my mom. But it does really radiate out when you do these things. And we all know that we want to be calm and at ease all the time because we know that our actions affect others. But for me, I've really kind of locked onto this. Like, I need to be soft all the time because I don't want to walk around kind of littering the world with my own emotional and physical garbage. I want to walk around and make the world a better place just by being in it. And that's really become really clear to me with softness.
Yeah. You know, it's making me think about actually what I have learned in the past year, which is, you know, and I've said this quite a few times on this podcast, is that Ayurveda is protective. That's like a very clear message that's come to me. And more than preventative, it is protective. It protects you every day. And what I realized is that I was able to, you know, bounce back from every treatment, every side effect, every symptom last year that I had during my cancer healing journey a lot better. And what I'm realizing right now as you're talking is that I was practicing softness. And that is part of what I learned in Ayurveda. I didn't call it softness. I think maybe I was calling it more like balance a little bit, you know, like using the opposite qualities or something. Not really even sure. I'm thinking about this as I'm talking to you right now. But the image that came to me when you were just sharing about your father in the hospital and how you were practicing softness, the image that came to me was when I was sitting in the chemotherapy chair and I would allow myself to just chill out, to get soft, to soften, to feel that softness, right? And just receive and actually like so almost like transmute that. I was putting these chemicals into my body that I was really having a hard time with and I knew was going to make me very sick the next, you know, 8 days. But I was able to practice softness in that moment when I was receiving the chemotherapy. And it changed my experience in the moment and also after. And I think it's this combination, and I'm not even really sure. I'm going to have to think about this more. Maybe we'll have to talk about it again. But there's something there about, you know, it being a practice that I probably was already doing within my Ayurvedic practice, like in the way that I am approaching the world, and I didn't even realize it. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I remember you sharing that with me about kind of just imagining golden light going through you, and it makes perfect sense for you. But I could imagine feeling sorry for the other people maybe in that hospital at the same time that didn't have that. So they're getting that, you know, treatment, but also panicked about it at the same time. And you know, we don't have a lot of science around that yet, but because the treatment's supposed to work and it still will do the things. But if you're tense and rigid and panicked, you know, there's got to be, it's not safe to say that yet. Oh, it's not going to work as well.
Sure.
But what you're saying with the softness and the ease and the chilling out, you know, you had a really wonderful outcome that is probably more predictably good than being panicked.
Yeah. And I also experienced it different. Like, you know, so like, forget about the outcome even, you know, again, to your point earlier that, you know, we're always so worried about the destination with the yoga pose. I really had to release, you know, and I think this is true for anyone going through something, you know, a difficult diagnosis, a chronic illness. You know, if you are always focused on the destination, it's going to be really tough. It's really stressful. It's really anxiety producing. But if you can stay in the process, right, and sort of allow yourself to just be here right now and go one step at a time and be in that softness, quite literally what you're saying, I think it transforms your experience, quite literally. And that makes all the difference for sure in the outcome. Like that for sure we know is that if you can get yourself into a place that is not a sympathetic, you know, high ratchet, like high stress space, you are actually going to do much better as far as your body healing, you know, you being able to receive any kind of therapy that you're getting much better. Everything works better. We know that. So there is some science to it, not exactly extrapolated to softness, but we'll get there. I'm making some connections as we're talking.
We're going to make it cool first.
Yeah, exactly.
Once it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this because I know that, you know, we've been talking a little bit, but how do we empower ourselves using softness? I mean, we've talked about, you know, kind of changing the definition and coming at it from a different perspective, but like, how can it really help us feel more empowered and help us transform even in all of our life, you know, not just in yoga, but in life in general?
I think something that's cool for an experiment for people, and it's been a great experiment for myself, is, you know, a lot of people talk to me and they say, okay, softness, that's great. Yoga, cool. It's all easy anyway.
Yeah.
And I say, well, try a more challenging sequence for your yoga and see how far you can go with softness. And it's not about doing a movement that's dangerous or stressful by nature, but it's, can you do something that's closer to your comfort zone being there? Like, how much can you expand your comfort zone without panicking? And I think that's a really good sort of softness test in a way. And I've kind of upped my yoga routine a bit. And I'm like you, I love my gentle yoga.
Yeah.
And it's all with softness. It's not like, you know, I'm not a fan of like compartmentalizing, like hard on Tuesdays and this on this. But if I'm going to do a more challenging yoga routine, it's not changing the moves. It's not doing something that would cause me joint pain or something. Maybe it's holding a plank pose for as long as I can. And then I put my knees down when I need to. And it's sort of saying, well, how long can I hold this without a panic? And what can I do while I'm holding this to not panic? And that's always being a bit more movable. So a little bend in my joints. Can I sway or a little shift side to side and forward and back? And then all of a sudden I can stay in this position that's actually building this empowered mental, emotional, and physical feeling with softness. And I love this kind of test. And it's funny because I figured out this test a long time ago when I first started leading yoga in New York to sort of busy business types, you know, and they would all want their workout, you know,
right?
And it would be so annoying to me until I figured out that I could hold a plank pose longer than all these really muscly guys and women. And I would say, okay, let's do this plank pose. And I would say, you know, let's see, you can stay here the longest. And I would do my softness trick, but with ease. I wasn't really thinking about softness so much, but a few of the things. And they would start 10, 30 seconds, 1 minute in doing it, but start to like, oh, I'm going to just put all my effort into this. And then the sweat would start dripping. And I'm over there like, you know, little Tara from Illinois, like just chilling.
Yeah, you know, chilling.
What do I have to lose?
Yeah.
And it's not like I can stay for 10 minutes at a plank pose, but I can outlast pretty much anybody that I go to a little contest with who's not employing softness. Now, if I can teach these people how to soften, they're going to be able to stay much longer because their bodies are much stronger than me.
Right.
But I could stay so much longer with that. And I think those challenging tips, you know, we living in the Berkshires now. So walking up a mountain, that's challenging for me, just going for a walk up a hill. But I can do that with softness and I can go so much further than if I was like, oh, when's this over? I'm doing this for my health, you know, kind of a thing. I could take a CrossFit class with a friend and be smiling the whole time and be doing really well and, you know, finish and surprise everybody. Oh, I didn't think you could do that. I'm like, yeah, of course I can. But I'm not grunting and furrowing my brow and freaking out like some of the culture of maybe the people in the class are doing. I'm doing it like we did wall balls. I did wall ball to this. And instead of throwing the ball down and kind of huffing to the next station, I would move it down and move from my middle to the next station. I'd be on the rowing machine 10 seconds before everybody else. And they're all way stronger than me, but I can ninja my way with softness. So whatever your hard thing is, you know, give it a test with softness and see how much more you can do. Because it's really incredible to me.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that it's even beyond the physical stuff. Like, just if you, you know, have this mindset of softness, how many more things can you do that you thought you couldn't do? And it's not about being more productive and getting more shit off your to-do list or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how can you stretch yourself to a place where you thought you wouldn't be able to get to, whether it means like understanding something that you're reading better, or maybe writing, you know, a couple more pages of something that you have been working on, or, you know, getting a little further in some organization project that you're, you know, wanted to do, like things that you want to do, not necessarily that you have to do, you know, cooking, you know, making a recipe that you thought, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to do half of those things, you know, or whatever it is. Like, I feel like you could apply this to so many things in your life and just surprise yourself of like what you're saying, how much more you can do.
Yeah, if you start doing it, it sort of just starts to trickle in all the places. And I think, you know, you can start it in the kitchen by bending yourself a little bit and chop the veggies like that. You can start it in your yoga practice, or you can start it in your hike up a hill. But you'll start to see yourself doing these things in all the situations. And then, yeah, wherever you were sort of lacking before, I mean, when my schedule gets busy, the sort of before softness terror version, I can imagine being frustrated, not getting as much done, staying up late, these kinds of things. And now I get everything done that I need to get done. Maybe I'm even not doing some of the things that I don't need to do. Maybe those aren't even making it to my plate now. And then when I'm tired, I can rest. I can go to bed. And I think that's huge too, for your body and your mind to be in sync. It's time to rest now. And you've taught me so much of that with Ayurveda, being like, all right, day's over, done the thing, that's it. And that's so much of what we can learn from this application of softness too. It just has this way of bringing harmony to wherever it was lacking in your life.
Yeah, I love it. I just have one more question, because I really want to come back to this connection piece. And so I'm thinking about, you know, community and environment. Like, how do you think that affects softness, or like having a lifestyle or a mindset around softness? What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the luckiest person in the world. Like, I have my dream life. I've always wanted to meet people different from myself all around the world. And with the yoga, with Strala, and I think this is literally because of softness, because there's lots of nice yoga communities that, you know, I'd be happy to be a part of. I don't need to lead everything. But this community that sort of come together, that have, you know, little blips around the world. Oh, softness. It's kind of interesting. And to see the ripple effect of people working together, or just people in a room doing this. And then, you know, we've rented out studios to have trainings in. Then the front desk would say, you know, your group is really nice. What's going on? Or even people walking by and looking in the window saying, that looks nice. Is that a class I can come to tomorrow? And we've gotten feedback from local cafes. The people in your group come in and they don't leave a mess. Usually people leave this huge mess. And I don't give a talk like, okay, don't leave a mess when you go, pick up your yoga. We don't have to have these, you know, rules and regulations. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be, don't talk to people in this way, talk to people this way. You know, these things are kind of, and it sounds strange, but understood, because we're practicing taking care of ourselves and listening to ourselves and noticing how we feel and softness. And then when you do that in a group, you're kind of bounced around by everybody else doing it. So it has this way of bringing out the best in you. I know it sounds so corny, but it feels so good to be around other people also doing this. Then you can go back into your life where you feel like, oh, maybe I'm the only one practicing softness, and it's okay. You don't feel a burden. It's not like, oh, why isn't everybody else happy, you know, or taking care of themselves? You feel like, well, I have some energy now. I can go into this meeting. I'm the only one doing softness, but I'm going to get all these people to do it just by me doing it. And then we're going to keep going from there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so it's like the community that you've built that's all practicing this with you also fuels you, sort of like you bank up that fuel and then you go back into your life and you're able to spread it more, you know, to everybody else. And I think that's very true. I mean, I feel that with you. Honestly, I've told you this so many times that I will do any collaboration, like anything you want to do. If you want me to talk to your community or do a class, you know, anything, I will always do it, because I feel that way. I feel that connection. I feel that softness. And I'm using this word now because now I understand what you mean by it, really understand it. Like, I feel that from you and the community that you've created. And who doesn't want to be around that? Like, it's just, it's joyful. It's inspiring. It feels good. Yeah, all the things. So
I think it's really neat to share with people that when you start doing it, the people around you feel better, which is good for you.
Like,
no one wants to be at the family reunion with everybody being stressed out. But if you can be the one person at the family reunion that's taking care of themselves, you're going to have a better time at the family reunion. It doesn't mean that you're going to fix everybody's wacky life, but it's going to be good for you. So I think it really takes people out of this mode of, oh, I have to fix everybody. You don't have to fix anybody. Just focus on yourself, and that anything and everything good will happen because you're doing it for yourself. And I think that's a lot of the rewiring around selfish too. It's sort of, you know, we've been so deprogrammed to listen to ourselves. That's been told to so many of us that that's a negative thing, or that's against being a good person even. And it's really held us back from really just taking good care and connecting with ourselves so we can make those better connections with people around us.
Yeah. That feels like a good place to end our conversation, because like, mic drop. That was beautiful. I'm so inspired by this talk. I'm going to be thinking about this for a couple of days, couple of weeks. And yeah, thank you. This has been really, really enlightening. And just, I love this frame and this perspective, and I'm going to really lean into it. So thank you, Tara. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're the best. I'm excited. Just hang out with you and do this all together, really.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Healing Catalyst. If you love what you heard, please hit follow and pass it along to a friend. And if you're feeling really inspired, please rate and review so that others can find this podcast more easily. To learn more, head to avantikumarsingh.com. And to connect with me directly, find me on Instagram at avantikumarsingh. I'll be back next week and hope that you will be too. Until then, remember, with the right catalyst, you have the power to activate your own healing, because healing starts within.